के नाम में श्री कृष्ण. टुडे इज हुज इन कंट्रोल एंड एटलीस्ट आई नो आई एम नॉट इन कंट्रोल. हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू कैन से दैट यू आर एक्चुअली इन कंट्रोल ऑल द टाइम 100% कंट्रोल? एनीबडी हियर? Honestly, I'm asking. If somebody is there, they should come here and speak. So I would like to start by telling you an anecdote that once there was a beggar and he went to somebody's house asking for alms. And the lady of that house, young lady, she rebuked him, she chastised him. Huh? You are young, you should work, why are you begging? And she actually threw him out of the house. She said, get out from here. So he was very sad, he was disillusioned, he was walking back. And as he was walking, her mother-in-law was just entering the house. So the mother-in-law asked him, what happened? Why do you look so sad? So he said, your daughter-in-law chastised me and sent me away. She didn't give me anything. So she said, oh, is that the case? Come back. Come back with me. So she took him back inside the house. And then she went inside the house and then she looked at him and she said, get out from here. Don't come back here again begging like this. So the beggar was really confused. He said, mother, if you had to say the same thing that your daughter-in-law said, why did you call me back? I was anyway going. So the mother-in-law said, how dare she ask you to get out? It's not her house. It's my house. I'm in control. Huh? So time and time again we see that many people, most people generally, they like to be in control and they like others also to know that they are in control. And if they see that somebody else is trying to take that control, they become insecure. They become unnerved. And immediately they say something or do something to make everyone understand that I am in control. So in this world, everyone wants to be a controller. And to some extent we are. Mini controllers in our own sphere, in our own domain, in our the housewife maybe in the kitchen, the children in their room, the boss in the office, only in the office. Now we have heard that, na? I'm the boss in my house and I have my wife's permission to say so. So although you may be a big man, but when you come home, you're not the boss, right? So we try, but the truth is that we are not able to control 100% in all situations, if we are honest with ourselves. We see it all around us, but we see only partial control. We see, I remember when I was small, I saw this cartoon, it may be still there. There's one fish trying to eat another fish. And there's another fish behind that fish trying to eat that fish. A bigger fish behind it and a bigger one. So although you are trying to be the controller and control somebody, but somebody else is controlling you. We read about it in the newspapers. The big multinationals, they are trying to control the small companies, trying to gobble up the small companies. The politicians, they are trying to control those big companies. The politicians in turn are being controlled by the big financiers who are giving them money for their political propaganda and so on. It goes on. Always there is somebody controlling somebody. Next. Do we need physical strength in order to control? Do we always see that somebody who is physically strong can control? Not necessary, right? Brute strength or physical strength is not the criterion for controlling. Many times we see that subtle can control the gross. We have many examples, as you can see here, that the rudder of a ship is very small. In fact, the tongue in our body is compared to the rudder. Our tongue can actually control our entire life, what we speak, such a small part of our body. So the rudder, a small rudder can control a big ocean liner, a big huge ship, right? Small microchips. In fact, now the more you advance, the smaller the chips are becoming. A very small microchip can control a big equipment. A small goad. Goad is what the mahout uses to actually move the elephant. It's called ankush. It's very small. And the elephant is so big, but it's very effective in moving the elephant. A small lamp can light up the entire room. We have such a big temple hall and we have so many beautiful chandeliers here. But even if you had just one light also, it would illuminate to a small extent, but it would illuminate the room. Even if we see the soul within our body, the Bhagavad Gita explains that the soul, what is the size of the soul? Anybody knows here? 1/10,000th, the tip of a hair. If you take the tip of a hair and divide it into 10,000 pieces, that is the size of the soul. Yet the soul is able to move this body, and so many actions are taking place, so many activities, so many processes going on. And that same soul can move the body of an elephant also. It's so small, it's so subtle. So we don't need physical strength to control. There are many other factors involved. So our topic for today is, next, who is in control? So we just discussed that we all want to be in control, or at least we are trying to, at whatever level we are. But the fact remains, the sad fact remains, that we cannot control. Because there are factors much beyond our control. Factors that we can't perceive sometimes, we can't see. But they are very, on a very subtle level, they are controlling our lives. And what are they? The Bhagavad Gita explains, next. The Bhagavad Gita explains 5 main themes. Ishvara, that is the Lord. Jiva, that is the soul. Prakriti, material nature. Kala, that is time. And karma, that is action and reaction. So the Bhagavad Gita explains that we, that is the jiva or the soul, we are constantly under the control of these three. That is prakriti, kala and karma. So we'll discuss them one by one. So first, next, is prakriti. This happened just yesterday, right? Very sad. So much devastation, a huge catastrophe occurred. The tsunami in Japan, right? Japan is the heart of all technology, right? Most technologically advanced country in the entire world. Everybody is learning from them. But in spite of all the technology, right? In spite of having all the info, all the knowledge, everything, but they could do nothing to predict, to prevent, to avert this disaster, right? They are helpless, totally helpless by the forces of nature. Next, many years ago, we heard about a similar disaster in California, where a tornado called Katrina came and it just wreaked havoc. Now in California, you have Silicon Valley, where greatest technology and everything is the heart of technology. But again, with all their technology, they could not do anything. They had to just evacuate the place. So when nature gets angry, when nature attacks, there's nothing we can do. We are totally out of control, whoever we may be. However rich we may be, however powerful we may be, whatever influence we may have, but we can do absolutely nothing, right? We have to face it. We are helpless. So earthquakes, volcanoes, floods, famine, all these are beyond, totally rendering us helpless, and we are absolutely out of control. Next. The next is Kala. Kala is time. In Mahabharata, those who have seen Mahabharata, main samay hoon, right? You see the Kala Chakra moving and he says, I am time. Who is that time? That time is the factor which keeps things moving. It never remains as it is. It keeps changing. So there's only one thing constant in this world, and that is change. Right? Things keep changing. They never remain constant. So we are all controlled by the powerful influence of time. However powerful we may be, or good controllers we may be, but we will be subdued or controlled by the effect of time. Next. So time wears down all things in the material universe. In fact, in the material world, whatever is there is subject to these 6 changes. Anything comes into being, that is born or produced, it grows, It may reproduce, it may remain for some time, then it starts diminishing or growing old and then it dies. Anything, there's only one thing that which is constant, as I said, and that is change. It never remains the same. Whether it is living or dead, even non-living things, buildings, right? It's a matter of time, but slowly they decay. The decay is happening. So always there is change happening because of time. We have all heard the quote that the sun never sets on the British Empire, right? There was a time when the British Empire in all its glory was controlling almost the whole world. It had colonies, America, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, India, all were under the control of the British Empire. But where are they now? Where is all that glory gone? It's all gone with time. So time is the greatest controller. Next, powerful personalities. All of us have heard of Alexander. Alexander the Great, who conquered everything that he saw. He was very powerful. He was genuinely powerful. But what happened to him? Anybody knows how Alexander died? Anybody knows? Mosquito bite. He got a mosquito bite and maybe he got malaria or something like that. And he died because of that. Most powerful warrior. Time. The effect of time. When it is the right time for you, then everything goes well. But suddenly, boom, crash. Down. We have no control even over our own body. We have no control on our own body. When we eat, we don't know what's happening. When it goes inside. We are hearing about so many diseases. So many diseases which render a person totally helpless. In fact, we have the great Muhammad Ali. Next. Yeah. He was a great boxing champion. Everyone has heard of Muhammad Ali. Very powerful. Very famous sports person. But sadly, he got what is called as Parkinson's disease, which totally it takes away all your strength. You are rendered helpless. So Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and so many such diseases, they render you mentally and physically inactive. In fact, in my own case, my father-in-law, till just some days back, he was perfectly all right, and suddenly he got dementia. Dementia is you lose your memory. And now he's like a two-year-old child. He's absolutely disoriented and not in control. He doesn't know what's happening. He just gets up, goes out of the house. He says, I'm going to school. Sometimes he opens the door. He says, I'm going to the bathroom. Somebody has to be with him and take care of him all the time. So he has lost control. Till some days back, he was totally in control. But now, he's absolutely helpless and he's not even conscious of it. He's not even conscious that I'm not in control. So that's what disease does to us. It puts us totally out of control. Whoever we are, however powerful we are, but there are some things over which we have absolutely no control. Third, so we saw Prakriti, that is material nature which controls us. Second, we saw Kala, that is time, which is the greatest controller. And the third is Karma. As you sow, so shall you reap. The actions and reactions that bind us. This is a lecture in itself, so I won't go much into detail about this. But we see, many times we see, in other people's lives as well as in our own lives, that so many times we work very hard or we plan so much, you know, to achieve certain goals, but it doesn't happen, right? We fail. And we see some other people who apparently not working so hard are very successful. And they are reached the top and we get very confused. How is this happening? Why do bad things happen to good people and vice versa? Why do good things happen to bad people? That's because of the laws of karma. Whatever we have done in our past lives, whether we remember it or not, it influences our present and our future. So that is what is called as destiny. That what we have done will influence our future. So we saw all these three points, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. At least we can understand one thing, that we are definitely not in control of our lives. Because they are very, very powerful factors which influence our life, which we can't control. then the question arises, if we are not in control, then who is in control? There has to be somebody in control. Would you enter into a bus when the driver is not in control? No. If they tell you, please enter the bus, here there's nobody in control, don't worry. There's democracy, everybody is in control, but nobody is in control, right? You need to have somebody who is in control for things to be moving smoothly. So who is that person? Who is that personality who is in control? That person is Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita it says, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. It means that Krishna is Ishvara. Ishvara means Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a Supreme Controller. And He is Govinda, is also called Govinda. Sarva Karana Karanam means He is the cause of all causes. Everything has a cause. I have a cause, my mother had a cause, her mother had a cause. But there is somebody who is the cause of all causes, who has no other cause. And that is Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahma Samhita says, so many scriptures say, and the Lord Himself tells us this in the Bhagavad Gita. Next. The Lord says, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Surida Sarva Bhutanam Nyatvam Mam Shantim Richati. It says, the Lord says in this basically three things. What does He say? He says, I am the Supreme Lord of all that you see. I am the Supreme Lord. I am the purpose of all austerities. I am the well-wisher of all living beings. And anybody who understands this can attain peace. All the time we are trying to control and we are getting frustrated, right? Because we are not able to control. But if we understand that who is the Supreme Controller and take shelter of Him, then we can actually be peaceful. This is the peace formula. Actually, Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse as the peace formula. That if people just understand this one shloka from the Bhagavad Gita, they can always be peaceful. That Krishna is the Supreme Controller, He is the proprietor, He is the enjoyer. And if we can just take shelter of Him and understand this, then we can be peaceful. Why do we say He is the Supreme Controller? Because He is not controlled by anything. He is controlling everything. The three things that we just discussed, Prakriti, Kala and Karma, don't influence the Lord. Sometimes in His leelas or in His pastimes, it may appear that He is also influenced by these things. But that is when He chooses to. When He chooses to. Otherwise, the Lord is independent, and that is shown through so many of His pastimes or through so many stories. First is Kala. If we see Kal, time, the Lord says in so many places that I am Kal, Kalosmi. He says, Kala Kalayatam Aham. Among subduers, I am time. He says, I am time. So how can time control Him? Time does not control the Lord. The Lord can control time. We see that in so many pastimes, in the Brahma Vimohan Leela and so many other pastimes, we see how the Lord is the controller of time. The next is karma. The Lord can actually control karma. Why? There is a shloka in the Brahma Samhita that karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajam Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. That He can control karma. He can actually burn out the karma of His devotees. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you surrender to Me, I will destroy all your sinful reactions. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami ma sucha. That I will destroy all sinful reactions. Don't worry. How can He do that? If the laws of karma are so strong, how can He do that? I'll give you an example. The president of our country has the power of clemency. That is, if somebody has been given the death sentence, that person can appeal to the president. No, I recently heard that Kasab, what's his name? He is going to appeal to the president. So the president has that power to exonerate. Mafi, The president can do it. So president is just an ordinary mortal being. So what to speak of the Lord? The Lord can actually totally mitigate all our karmic reactions if we surrender unto Him. Next, Prakriti. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunanena Kaunteya Jagadvi Parivartate. That this Prakriti or material nature actually works under His direction. Maya Adhyakshena, under my direction. It is described in the Brahma Samhita that just like when we move our hand, the shadow also moves. Similarly, when the Lord desires, Prakriti moves. When He glances, everything happens by His desire. So everything in material nature happens by His desire. So it is totally under His control. Like we just saw in the drama today, that when Jayadratha had to be killed, the Lord actually with His Sudarshan Chakra stopped the sun from setting. He actually hit the sun for some time. It's not possible for any mortal to do this, right? He actually hit the sun. How is this possible? Because He is all powerful. What is the sun? It is said that Yasnad Naya Brahmati Samrata Kala Chakro, that it is mentioned that the Lord actually can control the sun. The movement of the sun which is actually giving us energy, it is a source of all life and energy for all of us. What would we be without the sun? It is said that if the earth moves just a centimeter closer to the sun, we will die, we will burn. And if it moves just a centimeter away, we will be frozen. It's just at the right distance. By whose control? By the Lord's control. So the sun actually moves by His direction. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita that the sun and the moon are His eyes. So then what is difficult for the Lord? Right? He can do anything. There are so many beautiful pastimes. Actually, there are so many stories. It's not possible to tell all the stories in this limited period of time. But if you all read Krishna book and read other books written by Srila Prabhupada, they so beautifully illustrate how the Lord is omnipotent, He's all-powerful, He's all-pervading, and He can do anything. The beautiful Govardhan Leela illustrates this very graphically. Most of us have heard this story, but still, I will relate this in short. Once, when Krishna saw His mother making many items, cooking, so He asked her, Maya, what are you doing? So she said, we are making all these things because we are doing a yajna to please Indra. So now Krishna, being all-knowing, knew that Indra had become puffed up, proud. So the Lord cannot tolerate false pride in His devotees. So He thought, I have to do something. So He told Nanda and Yashoda, there is no need to worship Indra. He is going to send rain anyway. You worship Govardhan because Govardhan provides us with everything. He provides grass. We are an agricultural community. Main thing for us is our cows. And who gives us grass for our cows? Govardhan. Who provides the water? Govardhan. Who gives us herbs, medicines, fruits, roots, honey and so many other things? Govardhan. So we should do Govardhan puja. There is no need to worship Indra. So they listened to Him and they worshipped Govardhan. They had Annakoot ceremony. And now Indra, what happened to Indra? Indra thought, I am the controller. I am Ishwara. Who is this chit of a boy who dares to flout my authority? I'll teach him a lesson. Right? Indra was angry like fire. So what did Indra do? He sent the Samvartaka clouds to destroy Vrindavan. I'll teach these Brajvasis a lesson. They are trying to act smart. I'll show them. So He sent the Samvartaka clouds, which are actually sent at the time of annihilation, destruction. The Samvartaka clouds can pour so much torrential rain that the whole entire earth can be flooded with water and everybody can be destroyed. Those are the clouds that Indra sent. What did Krishna do? Was Krishna scared? No, because He knows. He knows exactly what to do. All the Brajvasis came running to Him. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogi, please protect us. We listened to you. And now see what's happening. So Krishna said, don't worry. with the tiny finger of his left hand, the tip of the tiny finger of his left hand, he picked up the entire Govardhan Parvat, just like a small child picks up a mushroom. And for 7 days and seven nights, he held it up like this. The Govardhan Hill is very big. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? It's huge. It takes many, many hours to circumambulate the entire Govardhan. I think 21 kilometers. Yeah, very, very big. In fact, now it's becoming smaller. That's another story that I will not narrate. But now it's still not very small, but it's said that the end of Kali Yuga, Govardhan will disappear. So it's very big. But he picked up the entire Govardhan and gave shelter to all the Brajbasis. They were not affected by the rains. In fact, he sent his Sudarshan Chakra on top of Govardhan Hill to dry up the water so that that area would not be flooded. So when Indra saw this, he was absolutely dumbfounded. He realized, I have made a big mistake. Meri bahut badi galti ho gayi. I have to correct myself now. So he went and he begged forgiveness. He actually crowned Krishna as the king of Vrindavan. With his Airavat elephant, he went, he took water from Govind Kund and actually performed Abhishek of Krishna and he begged forgiveness. So there are so many stories which illustrate that Krishna is the supreme controller. He can control nature and he can control everything. There are many stories, but I'll tell you one more short story before we move on to the next part of our lecture. And that is, Krishna swallows the forest fire. It's amazing. Once Krishna and his friends were playing in the forest and suddenly there was a fire. Do you know what's a forest fire? It's huge because there are so many trees and it moves very fast. In fact, in some forests, they have to call helicopters and throw water from up in order to try to stop those fires. But the fires continue sometimes for months together because they are so intense. It's very difficult to stop a forest fire. You can't just come spray something on it. It stops. But what did Krishna do? That's it. He just sucked in the forest fire and it disappeared totally. Well, I forgot one thing. Before doing that, he asked his friends to close their eyes. Because when he had eaten mud, they had complained to Yashoda. So he was scared. Now if I have... See, it's such a difficult thing to understand. On one side, he can swallow a forest fire, but on the other side, he's scared of what Yashoda Maya will say. That's because he loves her. She's his mother. So he could swallow the entire forest fire. So Krishna is the supreme controller. So what is our conclusion at the end of this thing? First, we concluded that we cannot control anything. And then we concluded that Krishna controls everything. So do we end here? No. It will be very depressing. I cannot control anything. Krishna is controlling everything. So now what do we do? Haath pe haath rakke baith jao. No. That would be a very fatalistic way of putting things. No, the Bhagavad Gita actually offers us a very, very scientific and practical solution. Most people feel that religion is very fatalistic, right? You believe in destiny and things like that. I believe in my own power. But actually, Bhagavad Gita is very practical and very, very scientific. If I'm not in control, and if somebody else is, if I can take shelter of that person, then I can be happy. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. If we take shelter of the Lord, then what happens? Then He takes charge of our life. We saw in the drama, because Arjuna had surrendered to Krishna, Krishna took it upon Himself to protect Arjuna. It's not that Arjuna demanded, but Krishna took it upon Himself. There is another story in the scripture of Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord. And he, with all his senses, he would worship the Lord. It is said that with his eyes, he would take beautiful darshan of the deities. With his nose, he would smell the tulsi, chandan, flowers which had been offered to the Lord. With his ears, he would hear Krishna katha and kirtan. With his mouth, he would chant and he would glorify the Lord. With his hands, he would actually clean the temple of the Lord. Although he was the king, He would personally clean the temple of the Lord. With his feet, he would walk to the temple of the Lord. So in this way, all his senses were engaged in the service of the Lord. So once, Ambarish Maharaj was doing a Ekadashi Vrat for the benefit of the citizens. That is called a Rajarishi, where they would actually perform austerities. They were self-realized souls. They would perform austerities for the benefit of the citizens. So when he was doing this Vrat, there is what is called as a Paran timing. You have to break your Vrat at a particular time. Otherwise, you don't benefit from that. So when it was just time for him to break his Vrat, Durvas Muni came there. And out of his etiquette, Ambarish Maharaj invited him, please have lunch, please have prasad with me. So Durvasa said, wait, I will go and take a bath in the Yamuna and then I will come back. So by the time Durvas went there and he went to take bath, he went into a trance, he went into meditation. And the time was passing and Ambarish Maharaj was advised by the Brahmanas that it's time for you to break your fast. He said, no, my guest has not come. How can I partake of anything before he comes? So they said, no, you have to take something. Others, all this effort which you have put in will be wasted. Since you are doing it for your citizens, please do it properly. So he said, okay, what should I do? They said, okay, take some Charanamrit, which is as good as not breaking as well as breaking. So he took Charanamrit. And there Durvasa, through his mystic powers, immediately understood that Ambarish has taken something. And he came and in a fit of rage, he cursed him. He took out hair from his matted locks and threw it to the ground. And he created a fiery demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj. But Ambarish Maharaj was not scared because he was a totally surrendered soul. He just folded his hands and stood like this. But the Lord was concerned. It's always the Lord who is more concerned about the devotee because he wants to protect. He loves his devotees. So he sent the Sudarshan Chakra. The Chakra killed the demon and then it started chasing Durvasa. So Durvasa started running. He ran through all the three planetary systems. First he went to Brahma. Brahma said, maaf karo. Sorry. Sudarshan, I can't do anything. He went to Shivji. Shivji said, sorry, I can't do anything. Shiva is actually his brother. Durvasa's brother or father or whatever. Next he went to Vishnu. He said, please save me. So Lord Vishnu said, even I can't do anything. Oh, but it's yours. Your Sudarshan Chakra. He said, no. You have offended my devotee. Unless my devotee forgives you, I can't do anything. So you go and take shelter of my devotee. So he went, Durvasa. Now he was totally out of control. Right? He went and he fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj. And when Ambarish Maharaj was not angry, he was still standing at the same place. 1 year Durvasa was running. Ambarish Maharaj was standing for 1 year without eating. It was a very great personality. He stood and when Durvasa came, he just picked him up and he just embraced him. And he said, come, no? And he begged the Sudarshan Chakra to go away and Sudarshan went. And then they took prasad together. So that is the nature of great souls and that is the nature of the Lord. That when we take shelter of the Lord, then He protects us from the influence of Kala, Prakriti and Karma. It is not that they don't act upon us. They still act upon us. But to the degree we are surrendered, the Lord protects us and He allows us to always remember Him and chant His names. So we have to be under somebody's control, right? Either we are under the control of these three things, Prakriti, Kala and Karma, or we can choose to be under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the controller of these three also. So we have to think what we want to choose. So my lecture basically consists of three parts. Two parts I have covered. First was that we are not in control, what we cannot control. Second part was, who is the supreme controller or who is in control? And the third part we will discuss what we can control. Right? Till now we discussed what we can't control. Now we will discuss what we can control. So there's a beautiful prayer. You all can all read it. O Lord, give me the courage to change the things which can and ought to be changed, the serenity to accept the things which cannot be changed, and the wisdom to know the difference. If we understand what we can control, what we can't control, and if we understand this, we will not be frustrated. We are generally trying to change the things which can't be changed, and in the process we forget the things which can be changed, that is ourselves. We discuss so many situations where we have no control. We just saw earthquake, tsunami, etc. We have no control, right? The Bhagavad Gita also teaches us that how a human being's effort to control people around him or control nature is futile. It's a waste of precious time. We discussed all this. We have no control over the situation, right? But we have control over one thing. There's one thing that we can control. And what is that? Can anyone guess? Our response. Our response or our reciprocation in that particular situation. How? By smiling and genuinely and peacefully accepting those problems and living with them even though we don't like them. Therefore, understanding the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, it actually helps us to understand and accept the miseries of life that come more gracefully. So now we will discuss this in detail, what we can control and how we should do it. It is said that a successful person is he who can control his different urges. Does anyone know what are the different urges? The urge of anger, the urge to speak, the mind's demands, and so on. So let us just see this and let us just think for a moment. Let us ponder. Are we able to control the urge to speak uselessly? It's called gramya katha or gossip. Can we control that urge? So many times we regret later, oh, I just did time pass. Huh? I should not have spoken all these things. Can we control that urge? Sometimes we speak recklessly. We hurt somebody by our words. We regret later. But we are not able to control ourselves. Are we able to do? Let us think. Are we able to control the urges of the mind? Sometimes our mind takes us to so many places. We think so many things, right? She said like this, he said like this, then I said like this, next time I'll say like this. It's like a battle raging inside our mind. Are we able to control it? No. Are we able to control our anger? Sadly, no. Most of the time we aren't. Although we plan so much, but when the situation happens, people who are traveling in Virar locals. My husband was telling me, we don't travel so much by train. He got into a Virar local and he wanted to get down at Borivali. And they didn't let him get down. He said there was place to get down, but they didn't let him get down. You should understand, if you want to go to Borivali, you have to take a slow train. Or a Borivali fast, not a Virar local. That is only for us, monopoly. How to not get angry? It's so difficult. All the time there are provoking situations around us. But it is said that the greatness of a person can be estimated by how one can tolerate provoking situations. Can we really tolerate? Very rarely, no? Very difficult. I'm talking for myself at least. Are we able to control the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals? Tongue, the rudder of the ship. We see something tasty, we want to eat it. Even sometimes we may be sick. Somebody may have loose motion. One side they will eat lobofen, other side sevpuri. They can't control the tongue. Even though they know it's not good for them, but they can't control the tongue. Right? If we can do these things, then we can claim that we are in control. Otherwise, we are not in control. Just by dominating over others, we can't say we are in control. We have to first control ourselves. Our mind and our mind's demands. Generally, we blame others, right? We blame other people or other forces or circumstances outside of us for our behavior. But we have control. We have control on our response. We are blaming others. Many times we say, he made me angry. He made me angry. She did like this, so I had to do like this. But a successful person is he who does not blame others or other circumstances for his behavior. Rather, he adjusts or molds his behavior based on his own values. Our training, our values should make us act in the right manner, irrespective of how the other person may have behaved. Uncontrollable impulses. I could not control. Murder cases, cases of rape, murder, what are these? Where the person absolutely is not in control of the situation. He's gone, his brains have gone crazy. Absolutely. Yeah? And they say, ki, I could not control. I could not control. But once, one such man who was accused of child abuse, he was asked in a court of law that if there had been a policeman in the room at that time, would you have done it? He said, no. That means you know it's wrong. You're not mad. You know it's wrong. Yet you did it. You chose to do it. Right? That means we actually choose our own behavior. We cannot blame others or circumstances for our own behavior. We can control. We don't choose to. Right? We are dangerous when we are not conscious of our responsibility for how we behave, think and feel. We are responsible for our own behavior. Responsible. We are able to make the right response, then we are responsible. We are responsible for our own behavior, but we choose to ignore that fact. What others do may be the stimulus for our feelings, but not the cause. Somebody may stimulate you, but nobody can cause you to do something, right? Once I remember, I went to meet my somebody went to meet my spiritual master and they asked that, am I disturbing you? So he said, you can't disturb me. Because we can be disturbed when we choose to be disturbed. So between the stimulus and response, man has the freedom to choose. There is that gap between the stimulus and the response. And that is where our control comes in. That is where we have to control. Not control others, but control our own responses. We deny responsibility for our actions when we attribute their cause to factors outside of ourselves. She was responsible for my behavior. He was responsible. It was because it was very hot and I was irritable. It was because my stomach was paining. It was because of this. It was because of that. But a person who is actually responsible, a person who is actually strong, will take responsibility for his or her own actions. And they will admit that they have made a mistake and they will actually learn from those mistakes. They will actually introspect and improve for the better. But what does a weak person do? A weak person will only focus on other person's weaknesses. Problems in the environment, political problems. They will spend their time discussing things over which actually they have no control. Things which they can do nothing about. We see elderly people sitting in the park discussing about politics. What can they do about it? They can do nothing about it. And what's going to happen even if one government goes and another one comes? Is there really any difference in our lives? Not much of a difference. It just becomes worse every year. So they spend time and what happens? Blaming, accusing, or so much of negative energy is produced. And they feel that they are victims of their own circumstances. Right? Generally, when you have that tendency to blame others, you feel you are a victim. But when you take responsibility for your own responses, you will not feel you are a victim. You feel I'm in control. I'm in control because I can control my response. So a strong person, Stephen Covey describes it as proactive. In his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he says a proactive person or a strong person, what will he do? He will work on the things that he can do something about. Whereas a weak person will spend so much energy getting frustrated over things they cannot control that they will fail to notice that there are areas where they can actually do something and improve the quality of their life. A strong person will be more effective. He will radiate, he or she will radiate positive energy because they are able to take the worst situation and convert it into something very, very positive. We take the example of Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who went to the West. He was 70 years old. He had no money. He was going into a totally different culture, right? All the odds were against him. But he had faith in his spiritual master's instruction. And he used all those things and converted them into something very, very positive. And he preached and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world in such a short span of time because he was so positive. He did not focus on the weaknesses of the people he was preaching to. They were all hippies. Most of them were hippies. They were not following any rules. But he was so positive that by his positivity he was able to influence all of them. In other words, we should try to do what we can do to the best of our ability and not cry over those things which we can't control. So the main point, the essential point of my lecture is that instead of getting frustrated in discussing or trying to manipulate situations which are beyond our control, we should use our God-given energy, our faculties, in what? In thinking, feeling, and having responses and proper behavior, right? We should control all these things instead of trying to control other things because we are meant to control this. We are given what is called as Vivek Buddhi, discrimination, which animals don't have. When an animal does something wrong, we cannot take it to a court of law because it doesn't think. It doesn't think so much. But sometimes even animals behave better than human beings. But we are meant to control our responses. So instead of complaining and grumbling, we can change ourselves. It's a beautiful quote which I like very much, and I've actually laminated it and put it in our house. Every time my daughters, they have fights amongst themselves, I just point to this quote. Do not complain about others. Change yourself if you want peace. It is easier to protect our feet with shoes than to carpet the earth. Can you stop the rain? No. But can you take an umbrella? Yes. Can you stop germs? No. Can you take a vaccination? Yes. So do what is in your control instead of cribbing about the things that you can't control. Then you will find that you are able to influence others much more. And by our positive energy and our good behavior, we will be able to actually influence people. Because we may try to control others, subdue others. But people are not concerned with what you are saying and doing. They are more concerned with what you are. I would like to tell you in short the story of Vishwamitra, which is very, very powerful. We don't have much time. Vishwamitra was a great king. And he once went to the ashram of Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha Muni had a Kamadhenu or wish-fulfilling cow called Sabala. And with the help of this cow, he provided hospitality to Vishwamitra and thousands of soldiers. So much luxury and so much opulent food items were given. So Vishwamitra was amazed. He said, what type of cow is this? I've never seen something like this. You should give me this cow because I am the king and the king deserves to have the best. And this cow is the best. So Vasishtha said, no, I can't give you this cow. This cow is my life. This cow gives me everything that I need for my daily yajna and puja. So Vishwamitra said, I'll give you 1,000 million cows. Vasishtha said, I'm not interested in wealth or thousands of cows. This one cow is enough. I lead a very simple life. Please, let her be with me. So Vishwamitra got angry. He was used to being in control because he was the king. So again here he tried to control. He said, I will take her by force. So Vasishtha folded his hands. He said, I am a Brahmana. And a Brahmana is gentle by nature. This quote about Leo Roskin is a very beautiful quote. He says that it is the weak who are cruel. Gentleness can only be expected from the strong. Those who are strong actually can be forgiving, can be gentle. So Vasishtha stood like this. But the cow protested. The cow said, I don't want to go. You just say, Sabala, stay with me and I will take care of everything. So Vasishtha said, Sabala, stay with me. And from the cow's body came thousands of soldiers who totally defeated Vishwamitra. So now he was devastated. One Brahmin could defeat me. I will get the same power that Vasishtha has. I will acquire that Brahminical power. I want that Brahma Tejas. I will become a Brahma Rishi. Why? To take revenge on Vasishtha. That was his motive. So he performed a lot of austerities. He worshipped Shiva. And he came back and attacked Vasishtha. But all the weapons he sent had no effect on Vasishtha. Vashishta was standing with a staff and all the weapons just entered into that staff and got neutralized. So again Vishwamitra was humbled actually. He felt absolutely humiliated because he could not touch, you know, sar ka baal baka nahi kar paya. He could not do anything to Vashishta. So again he went back. Again he started performing lot of. In fact, Vashishta told him, go back, be peaceful. Why are you doing all this? Vashishta was not angry. So Vishwamitra went back, again started performing austerities. Because when you are angry, just like Duryodhan, you know, when you are angry, even if someone forgives you, you get more angry. You know, you'd rather that person be angry with you. So he was more envious and more angry. He went back, performed more austerities. But this time when he was performing austerities, one king came to him, Trishanku. This Trishanku wanted to go to heaven in his own body, self same body. And he first approached Vashishta. Vashishta said, it's not possible. Only if you have lived a very pious and religious life, then after you leave this body, you can go. You cannot go like this. So because Vashishta refused him, and he knew Vishwamitra is Vashishta's enemy, he went to Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra, just because Vashishta has refused, he said, I will send you. He didn't send you, I will send you. So Vishwamitra tried so much and he used all the energy, all the power that he had accumulated. He used in trying to send Trishanku back to heaven. That's another big story. You can read it in Ramayana if you are interested. It's a very interesting story. What happened? But all his powers got used up. So now again he started performing austerities. This time Indra got very disturbed. This Vishwamitra is performing so many austerities. He is trying to take my throne, I suppose. So he sent Menaka. Beautiful Menaka to seduce Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra was totally bewildered by her beauty. And he started enjoying with her. What happened? All the power gone. Then he realized his mistake. He went back. Started performing austerities again. This time Indra sent Rambha, another celestial nymph. But by now Vishwamitra had become wise. He said, I'm not going to be taken in by this. And he cursed her. He cursed her that you'll become a stone for 1,000 years. And then only you'll go back to heaven. But in that cursing, again he lost his power. Because he used his power to curse her. So first, he came under the control of envy when he wanted the cow. Then he came under the control of what? Anger. Anger. He wanted to kill Vashishta. Then he again came under the control of lust. Sorry, first was greed, then envy, then lust. Now was lust with Menaka. And now with Rambha it was anger. So now Vashishta said, I will not come under the control of any of these. And he started performing real strong austerities. And he actually acquired a lot of powers. And now he went to meet Vashishta again and he wanted to kill Vashishta. He was hiding behind a bush to kill Vashishta and he overheard a conversation where Vashishta was telling his wife. Actually, every time he would go to attack Vashishta, Vashishta would call him Raja Rishi and Vishwamitra would get very angry because he wanted to become Brahma Rishi. So this time he went to kill Vashishta and he heard Vashishta saying that this Vishwamitra has acquired so much Brahma Tej. No, he has become so effulgent like the waxing moon. And when he heard this, he was confused. He said, I have so much hatred, bitterness, but this person has no hatred for me. He dropped his weapon and he went and he fell at the feet of Vashishta and begged forgiveness. So Vashishta picked him up saying, welcome Brahma Rishi. Because the moment he gave up that feeling of hatred and enmity that he had, then he was qualified to be called a Brahma Rishi. Because in the scriptures it is said that a man cannot conquer others until he has conquered himself. Until he conquers the 6 anarthas which are within the heart, he cannot gain mastery over anything else. First we have to control ourselves. So that is why before we win public victory, we have to win the private victory. That is, we have to fight the battles within. If we win the battles which are within and settle the issues that inwardly conflict, then we will become peaceful. Then what will happen? Naturally, we will tend to think more positive. We will cooperate, we will promote the welfare and good of other people. We will be happy when we see other people's success. All these good things will naturally come about. And then what will happen? Then we will actually be able to influence people around us because we have so much positive energy radiating from our body, like Srila Prabhupada did when he went to the West. He did not demand respect, he commanded respect because of the positive, because of the spiritual energy that was coming out of his body. He did not have to tell people to obey him. They naturally followed him. So if we are able to control ourselves, then we can, we don't even try, but others will get influenced by us. But it seems very difficult, right? This process to control all the anarthas within us. It seems almost impossible. Imagine to consistently introspect, to think. Sometimes even I think with my kids so many times, I will not get angry. And I have learned all those parenting techniques. They tell me, Mama, stop it, you know. All those parenting techniques don't use on us. Because I try to use empathy and, you know, reflective thinking and all that. And they say, Mommy, stop it. They recognize, this is not you, you know, this is not you. Talk normally. If you get angry, it's okay. So I think so many things, but in that situation, sometimes it's too much and then I react. So every time to stop, to think, to choose our responses is sometimes very difficult. We are not able to do it. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna tells Krishna, he says, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayoreva sudushkaram. That for the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it seems to me more difficult than controlling the wind. So what are we saying here? On one side we are saying we should try to control ourselves. On the other hand we are saying that trying to control our mind is like controlling the wind. Who can control the wind? We can't. It's very, very difficult. So what should we do? So the scriptures give us the hint. Manas trayate iti mantra. Mantra is that which helps us to control our mind. So Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada gave us the method. And what is that method? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Simply by regularly and sincerely chanting this mantra, we can control our minds. Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Krishna himself, advented 500 years back in Navadvip, West Bengal. And he came and he gave us this Maha Mantra. Because he knew this is the only way. Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Gatir Anyata. In this age of Kali, which is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, this is the only way, this is the only way, this is the only way. The chanting of the Maha Mantra. And if we do this, only then we can be truly happy. So to summarize, we discuss these main points, that there are things which are beyond our control, kala, prakriti, karma, which we can't do anything about. We have to gracefully accept them. What is in our control is that we can introspect and control our own responses and behavior. If we take shelter of the Lord, then we are no more under the control of the other factors. And we have to try to control our own responses. But even that is difficult. To control our mind, we need access to the power of God, which comes to us through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We can't perfect ourselves on our own. But to the degree we try to align ourselves with these principles that we have just discussed, and we try to apply them in our life, to that degree, the Lord will empower us and endow us with the necessary qualities so that we can do His will. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.